And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Brian. I'm one of the ministers here at St. Aidan's, and it's so good to be here with you today. So good to see you here for Christmas Eve. I'm going to pray, and then we'll spend some time hearing more from this passage from God's Word. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the God who knows us and who loves us. And we pray that this morning you will calm our hearts and give us real insight into who you are and who our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, is. Help us to see the hope and the joy that's on offer in him. Amen. Well, it's Christmas Eve today. It's just really exciting. How Christmassy do you think you feel? On a scale of 1 to 10, how Christmassy do you feel? 9? Some high numbers? I imagine some high numbers and some low numbers. At the beginning of December, we put up 24 cards strung across our living room. They're like an advent calendar. And on each one, there's a name or a title of Jesus. So each day we turn one over and we discuss as a family this what it is, that how Jesus is this particular title or name. And it's effectively a life-size or a room-size calendar or countdown to Christmas Day. And when we put it up, one of our kids saw that there were 24 days until Christmas, and he was really sad because he thought, Christmas is never going to come. That is too many days between now and Christmas. Well, the days of December, I imagine if you're an adult here, the days of December click on by pretty quickly, don't they? I know that's how it's been for me. They've clicked by in frantic busyness because there are Christmas concerts, end of year's assemblies, there are presents to buy, there are group presents to organise, there are end of year celebrations, there are plans to make for next year. And then in amongst all of that, our family came down with COVID and a bunch of those things went on pause. And there were a bunch of days feeling sick, or a bunch of days being isolated, or a bunch of days looking after sick children. And then we come out of our isolation, we're no longer unclean, and we come back out into the world, and it's less than a week to go until Christmas. And before I even know it, it's Christmas Eve today. And I've got to tell you, I don't feel very Christmassy. It's just sort of passed me by. Now, if you believe the hosts of the carols in the Domain, there's something Christmassy in the air. It's here, it's around, it's all around us. And it's a feeling that we should all have with tinsel and lights and carols and those sorts of things. Feel it like a child's excitement at wonder at Christmas. It's meant to be something that we all feel. You know what I'm talking about. And it's a feeling we try to capture with decorations and celebrations and carols and presents. And sometimes you get it and it's lovely. And sometimes it just passes you by. And sometimes it's because it's the busyness of the season. But there are plenty of other things that go on in life that can leave us without the Christmassy feeling, aren't there? Grief. If you've lost someone recently, there is a grief that sits there for you that you feel particularly at Christmas. And that's hard. Or maybe you're facing sickness yourself, or there's sickness in your family, and there's always worry and concern, what's this next year going to look like? Or relationships have broken down and there's conflict and tension and you feel it. You're meant to have this Christmassy feeling, but you feel worried or anxious or stressed. And rather than taking away our sadness, Christmas, it seems, sometimes can amplify those feelings for us, can't it? Isn't Christmas meant to be a time of great joy? Isn't that what it says on the box? It's going to give us joy. I mean, don't the angels literally say to the shepherds in the passage that we're reading today, they're bringing good news of great joy for all people? Well, this morning I want to reflect on that statement made by that angel to those shepherds a long time ago. I'm going to read it out for us again. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. This is the angel speaking to the shepherds. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news today that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Good news, great joy, all people. Let's think a little bit through this passage, what this means, and we'll reflect on what joy is on offer for all of us at Christmas. Well, in the beginning of our passage, in verse 8, we meet a group of shepherds. And they're out in their fields at night. It's first century Palestine region in Bethlehem. They're out in their fields and it's dark and it's quiet. And it would just be, they don't know that it's Christmas Eve at this point. They're not excited. This, for them, this is just Tuesday. And then there's a disturbance. There's an angel that appears to them, and that this must be a terrifying thing, because as soon as an angel of light appears to anyone in the Bible, what's the first thing they say? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's okay. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's a don't be afraid. It's all right. This is okay. I have good news for you, the angel says. The angel says, "I have good news of great joy." Literally, the translation would be mega joy. I've got good news for you of mega joy. I wonder if you've ever received news that's given you mega joy. For some people, it might be a birth announcement. A new life has come. For others, a marriage announcement or a new promotion or some big life event that's given you great joy. Well, here the angel had a birth announcement, a message of a baby who has been born. In verse 11, the angel says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, for some of us, we might be more familiar with the phrase, "He is Christ, the Lord. But those words mean the same. Messiah is the same word as Christ, and they both mean God's anointed king. So the angel is saying that today, God's anointed king, God's long-promised king, has been born in the town of Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem is not a very significant town. It'd be kind of like us saying, oh, in Lugano, a baby has been born. Lovely place, but quite quiet. Not a whole lot goes on. Sorry. Lugano, great place. But he's saying, in this little town over here of Bethlehem, the Messiah has been born today. Now, the shepherds would have been very stunned at this news. They'd obviously heard about this Messiah. God had promised his Messiah to come for many, many years. And they're thinking, what, today? Really? Bethlehem? But before they had time to process that news, the sky lit up around them. Do you see it there? A whole multitude of the heavenly beings joined the angel in the sky, and the whole heavenly choir singing glory and praise to God. Something very special had happened at this one point. And once the choir had finished singing and the angels were just still in shock, the choir disappeared, the angel disappeared, and the shepherds were left alone and in the dark. And I love what they say here. We should go to Bethlehem. Imagine them talking to each other. We've got to check this out. We should go. And so they go. They hurry off, we're told. They hurry off to Bethlehem. And in Bethlehem, they find Mary and Joseph and a little baby lying in a cattle food trough. Well, the shepherds, we're told, meet the baby. And we're not told that anything particularly remarkable happens when they do meet the baby. There's no, it's not like, you know, the Christmas cards you see where there's like a beam of light from the star that comes down to this beautifully immaculate manger with hay, the hay, it's all very nicely done, where the baby is lying. No, none of that. They just see an ordinary looking baby in a pretty humble setup in someone's back shed. In Jim's food trough for his cattle in the back shed. This is not really a scene from a Christmas card. There's evidence of a recent birth scattered around on the ground. This is messy. This would not make the front of any Christmas card. This is actually a really depressing scene. Where's the joy? If you think about it from Mary and Joseph's perspective, it becomes even more depressing. They've had to come to this town of Bethlehem from way up north in Nazareth. They've had to come for a census. So everyone's going to their sort of ancestral hometown, the town where their family is from. And so they make the long journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem while Mary is heavily pregnant. And when they arrive in Bethlehem, Joseph's ancestral home, where there should be a whole lot of family and connections there to welcome them in. Who welcomes them? No one. Do you get this? Not one member of their family or their extended family is willing to welcome them into their home. We're not told why, but I wonder if it's because Mary and Joseph are having a child outside of marriage, and they're ostracized and they're outcasts. No one will take them in. Even the local inn has no room for them. And so they find shelter in someone's back shed. And you imagine Mary says to Joseph, I think it's starting. She goes into labor. Can you imagine going into labor in a dark, cold shed, ostracized from all of the people around you, the scent of manure in the air, There's no soft glowing light. There's no barnyard of animals, helpful animals ready to assist you. They're alone and lonely. And labor is not a quiet event. And still no one from the surrounding houses takes them in. How alone must they have felt? Dreadfully alone. And eventually the baby is born. And the first visitors are not proud grandparents kicking the door down to come in and see their first grandchild. The first visitors, the shepherds from out in the field. And that's it. I don't think this was a very joyful scene. I don't think it would have felt very Christmassy. And yet, when the shepherds eventually leave, what does it say? It says they went and told everyone that they met about this baby. Eventually, they go back to their sheep, and when they're back with their, they're working on Christmas Day, but they're not complaining. They're back with their sheep, and they're glorifying and praising God for all of the things that they had heard and seen that night. Why were they rejoicing? Why were they rejoicing? What was the source of their joy? I've got to tell you, it has nothing to do with their circumstances. Because nothing much had changed for them. They'd been watching sheep. They went and saw a baby. They went back to the sheep. Nothing's changed for them. But the baby was the source of their joy. Not because it was cute or because there was an aura or something coming up from the baby. Their joy came from who this baby is. They saw with their eyes, they heard with their ears, the Christ, God's promised Messiah. You see, their joy was bound up in the gospel. The angel that came and saw them said that he had good news of great joy, good news of mega joy. And the word that he uses here for good news is he has gospel. I have gospel, he says, of that will bring mega joy for all the people. Because the long-awaited Messiah is finally here. And that's good news for the shepherds who've been out in the fields. The long-awaited Messiah is finally here, and that's good news for a lonely, ostracized couple in the back shed. This is good news for you and for me. It's good news for people who are hurting. It's good news for people who are broken. It's good news for people who don't know what 2024 is going to bring. It's good news for people who feel ashamed. It's good news for people who feel guilty. It's good news for people who are facing conflict and stress and turmoil. Because this baby is the Christ. And he brings good news of great joy. And it's got nothing to do with their present circumstances. It's got nothing to do with our present circumstances. It's not dependent on how we feel right now. It's not dependent on some nebulous Christmassy feeling. It's because of who this baby was. Jesus the Christ came to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal them. Jesus the Christ came to bring hope to the world, didn't he? Jesus the Christ came to bring salvation from sin. He came to bring peace between a holy God and broken and sinful people. Jesus the Christ saw people who were suffering, and what did he say? He said, "Come to me, everyone who is burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus the Christ came to give eternal life. Jesus the Christ came to give everyone who believes in him the right to become children of God. That means that you and I, if we're following Jesus, we're in God's family now. And the turmoil of our families down here can't shake the fact that we have a solid and secure family with God. Jesus the Christ came to cleanse and to purify and to give hope to a hopeless and broken world. He came down into the muck and the manure of this world to open a way that we can have life with God forever. He came to give us hope, hope that's not dependent on our circumstances. It's not based on our successes or our failures. It's not based on our achievements. It's not based on how other people respect us or see us or whether they like us or not. The hope that we have in Jesus, it's not based on whether the chemotherapy is going to work. It's not based on whether other treatments are going to work. He gives us hope and new life that can never fade and can never fail, that old age cannot take from us. It's a hope that is anchored in the gospel, in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And it's a hope, it's a joy that it's not based on Christmas lights and tinsel. I mean, nothing. Don't get me wrong, I love a good Christmas light and a good tinsel. I think it's great. But the hope and joy we have come from knowing and following and being saved by Jesus the Christ, the one who is the light of the world, who came to bring light into a world that is mired in darkness. So I don't know what's going on for you at the moment. You might be deep in the Christmassy feeling. Fantastic. Love it. Enjoy that. Or due to what's going on in your life right now, that feeling may have passed you well and truly by. Whatever it is for you, there is a better, deeper, more certain hope and joy that's offered in the gospel. In knowing Jesus Christ, in knowing the one who came from heaven to earth to save us because he loves us. Can you imagine being loved so much by someone that they will die for you? That's extraordinary, isn't it? That's what's on offer in knowing Jesus, the one who came from heaven to earth and died for us and has returned to heaven with hot nail holes still in his hands, showing for all eternity that our sin has been dealt with, our brokenness has been taken from us, our shame has been crushed, and we're healed. That's the hope that we have in knowing Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the baby, born in a shed, sleeping in a manger, who grew up to be the Savior of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that today, tomorrow, this week, we will know the hope and joy it is to know Jesus. That this will be something that is deep and enduring and lasting for us, not based on how well others like us, not based on our successes, not based on tinsel, but the fact that Jesus the Christ has come and he offers us hope, perfect life, for now and forever. Amen.